A day after Joe Biden's historic pick of California Senator Kamala Harris to be his running mate, President Trump tweeted, "The suburban housewife will be voting for me," a continuation of his not-so-subtle campaign warning that if Democrats win in November, low-income housing will invade the suburbs. Well, we also had some primaries yesterday. The Democrat Ilhan Omar won hers in Minnesota. And in Georgia, a Republican QAnon conspiracy theorist was victorious and could be in Congress in the fall.
Let's get more on this with Alice Stewart. Alice joins us now. Welcome.
Hi, Tanya. Great to be here.
Yes. So Kamala Harris, as we know, is the first Black and South Asian American woman vice presidential pick. This morning, she tweeted about the first conference call she and Joe Biden had together as running mates. Let's listen.
You ready to go to work?
Oh, my God. I'm so ready to go to work.
I was raised to take action. My mother knew that she was raising two Black daughters who would be treated differently because of how they looked. Growing up, whenever I...
And Alice is a Republican political strategist. Alice is, was picking Harris a bold move on Joe Biden's part, or safe choice, or both?
I think both. And Tanya and Robin, I think no matter what side of the aisle you're on, this is an exciting time in politics when we really flesh out the ticket and seeing Joe Biden bring on Kamala Harris. I think she is certainly someone just from the visual standpoint. She brings diversity and youth and energy to the Democratic ticket. And from a political standpoint, she is experienced. She's been vetted, having gone through the Democratic primary, and she's a fierce fighter. And those are good qualities that also add to what Joe Biden brings to the table. The question is, given that he has said he will more than likely just run for one term, and if for some reason, heaven forbid, he is not able to fulfill the duties, Kamala Harris would step into the role if they were to win. So her record will face really close scrutiny. And I have to say, as a Republican, and independents across the country will take pause with her record for eliminating private health insurance, supporting the Green New Deal, decriminalizing illegal border crossings, and giving illegal taxpayer-funded health care. So her record, I think, overall will face a lot more scrutiny than your normal vice presidential nominee will have. But that being said, from a campaign standpoint, this is a really exciting time to now that we get it really down to the brass knuckles of the face-off between Pence and Trump and Biden and Harris.
Well, speaking of Trump, Alice, not everyone feels this way. Trump actually does not feel this way. Let's bring in Angela Rye. She's a Democratic political strategist. And Angela, I mean, Trump went after Harris on race and gender today on Twitter. Yesterday, he called her nasty. And the first ad from the Trump campaign accuses Harris of being a sellout. Let's listen.
Kamala Harris ran for president by rushing to the radical left, embracing Bernie's plan for socialized medicine, calling for trillions in new taxes, attacking Joe Biden for racist policies. Voters rejected Harris. They smartly spotted a phony, but not Joe Biden.
Angela, I mean, might Trump's attacks on Harris actually backfire on him? Are Republicans struggling how to define her?
Well, they'll backfire with the folks they normally backfire with. The real question is for the 50% of people, white people, who are supporting and doubling down on white supremacy this election. That's who that question needs to go to. So I would invite you actually to ask Alice that question, who just said a lot of stuff about Kamala Harris that is not true. In fact, I'm questioning where she actually got her record from, because it sounds like it came from the RNC out of a memo, a messaging memo this morning. But I reject, just like I stand with 700 Black women who signed an original letter last week about the racist and sexist tropes being used against all of the Black women contenders at that point. And I'm not surprised at all that these things continue into this week. And we'll be ready, prepared, fully equipped to combat all of that nonsense going into this fall. Especially
well, Angela, Angela Robin in here jumping in. I know you've been chafing at the bit, too, because we had trouble getting you on with the technology. But here you are. Just take one or two of those things, because Alice, you did say that Kamala Harris was for getting rid of the insurance industry, I think it was, or something like that. That is not true, is it, Angela?
No, and I think furthermore, what we really have to be talking about, rather than getting rid of the insurance industry, let's stop talking about profit around healthcare. And let's start talking about, especially with the thousands of people, the hundreds of thousands of people who have died in this country due to COVID. Oh, it's time for us to be talking about healthcare and what people need to survive. So instead of talking about the insurance industry and how to double down on those tax credits and the tax benefits that these corporations so desperately need, let us begin to talk about what people need in this country to survive. The talking points are all wrong and the focus is all off.
Well, Alice, let's bring you in to respond to some questions about Republicans. In Georgia yesterday, the Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene won her primary. She has called the billionaire Jewish activist George Soros a Nazi, says there's an Islamic invasion of the U.S. government, believes in the insane QAnon conspiracy that Democrats are running a child sex ring and trying to bring President Trump down. She's, Alice, you know, one of maybe 14 Republican QAnon candidates. Here's one of her latest ads.
The fake news media hates me. Big tech censors me. The D.C. swamp fears me. And George Soros and the Democrats are trying to take me down. But they don't scare me. Socialism does. That's why I'm running.
Alice, what does this say about your party, the Republican Party? A QAnon backer, potentially in office.
Yeah, I think that, first of all, the QAnon conspiracy is ridiculous and stupid. Let's just get that out of the way and quite clear. Look, I hate to inform Green, but Democrats aren't the only one that have a problem with her. There are traditional Republicans, myself included, who think her comments are outlandish and absurd and disrespectful. I'm from Atlanta, born and raised there. Have a lot of friends that obviously my family still lives there. I talked with some Republicans this morning about this, and traditional Republicans in Georgia are really discouraged that they're not going to stand by her because she's a loose cannon.
But they can't get their party leaders to do anything about it. Kevin McCarthy and President Trump hasn't disowned it.
It is the reality of the day is that it's ultimately up to the voters to decide. And the people in her district obviously voted for her. She won 57% of the votes in this race, and she will certainly win in November, given the makeup of that district in Georgia. But it is the people's decision to decide. I strongly have always opposed political leaders dictating who should run and who people should vote for. It's for the people of each district to make the decision as to who they vote for.
Angela, I want to bring you in to talk about something else. So I want to talk about Minnesota's Ilhan Omar. She won her primary yesterday, the last of the so-called squad of young women, first termers to do so. Omar supports diverting some money from police departments towards social justice services or social services. The progressive wing of the party is on the rise. Is that going to scare off some voters in the fall, do you think?
Well, let me just first say congratulations to Congresswoman Omar, who has withstood hate-filled attacks and rhetoric, has withstood and undergone death threats galore. And yet she stuck to her principles, and she secured her second term. What I think is that we have to be unafraid of having conversations that make sense in this country, particularly around policy, because behind every written policy are human beings. And so I actually applaud Ilhan for having the courage to say, you know, there's some funds that go to police departments that don't particularly serve us well. I would invite the listener to have conversations with police officers on when they get some of those calls, what are some of the things they wish they did not have to respond to? That's a conversation that I've had. I have a cousin who's a retired police officer, and he said far too often they're asked to respond to calls for mental health services, to move someone who's homeless, to send someone whose kid, you know, is trying not to go to school, to respond to that. That is beyond their scope of duty and their mission.
Do you think this this progressive messaging, as folks are calling this, though, is going to scare off some voters in the fall who may not be as progressive?
And I guess what I'm saying is, I hope not. What I started with is what I meant, and that is that I really think it's time for us to have courageous conversations instead of engaging in fear-mongering. And that's why I applaud what she's doing, even if we don't always agree with every tactic. But I think defunding is about divestment, and it's time for us to have that conversation.
I got to jump in, and Alice, we only have about a minute left, and we haven't talked in a while. I'd love to say, hey, how's your summer? But instead, I have to ask you this. COVID-19, do you think Donald Trump is going to go down as the president who led possibly the worst healthcare response in history? And we'll take your party down with him. And I'm sorry, I got a minute for you.
Well, I think it's quite clear that we have a lot of work to do with regard to COVID. I think the administration now is focused on making sure that we work hard and quickly on getting a vaccine, that we work on testing, we work on contact tracing, and we work also importantly simultaneously to open up schools and businesses to get America back on track.
And that was Alice Stewart, who is a Republican strategist, and Angela Rye, who is a Democratic strategist.